Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I have Bhavani Kamdar. She is the founder and CEO of Infinity Business Solutions, and very excited to talk to you, hear about your journey, and talk about AI, data, and leadership. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dean, for having me over.
Yeah, and go ahead and introduce yourself. I'm sorry. Do talk about yourself, your company, and maybe just your entrepreneurial journey to how you got to where you are.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for that opportunity. I'm Bhavani Kamdar, the founder and CEO of Infinity Business Services. I actually started my career in finance. So I'm an MBA finance graduate, and like every other Indian, I had the dreams of studying, getting into a great MBA college, get a great job, climb the corporate ladder, and that was it. I never dreamt of being an entrepreneur myself. So I started my career with banking. I was into wealth management. That's when the markets crashed in 2009 and the financial crisis hit. So losing that job turned out to be one of the best things that happened to me in hindsight, but it wasn't as pleasant then when it happened. So it pushed me to find out more ways in which I could keep myself afloat, because my idea was to keep myself afloat till the markets are ready to accept me and then go back to the workforce. That's when I landed on this concept of virtual assistant services, and I signed up for some freelancing platforms, and that's how my journey started. Fast forward 16 years, we have a team of around 200 people, all based out of India. My sales team is US run. They are all based in the US. And I shuttle between the two countries. I spend almost 10 months in India, where my family and my setup is, and 2 months in the stateside so that I can take care of the clients. And I work as a bridge between my clients and the process execution. So that's how we started. Started as a small virtual assistant company, but now we build, train, and manage remote teams for small businesses. And when I say remote teams, these are dedicated remote teams that works as a growth engine for any company that we attach them to. So it's like pretty much like having an in-house team that has your knowledge dump, your culture. We train them for your processes and they use the softwares that you are on. So it's not like outsourcing. It's just like creating and managing your remote team. So that's what I do.
Yeah, amazing. It's funny how dramatic life events sometimes really shape while it's tragic or very a lot of pressure when it happens, it sets you on a new trajectory and you take some more risk. And I love hearing that, where you pivoted from that into starting your own business. Now, along that journey, like, what kind of leadership lessons, time management, that kind of shaped how you lead today?
Multiple lessons. One is life doesn't go exactly as you planned for it to go. And no matter how prepared you were, no matter how many 5 years, 10 years plans you had in mind, but it doesn't always work out that way. More often than not, it does not. One thing that I learned, life has taught me, is to go with the stride and be prepared for the opportunities and take it when it presents itself. And that's pretty much how the business has grown. Another big lesson that I landed on and learned was a lot of people get into this rut on, they have their own notion of success, which roughly translates to hard work and not strategic work. So a lot of business owners that I land on or work with, they get busy working in their business, managing day-to-day operations. And before they know, the day is already gone and the weekend, and that's how the week goes by and months go by. And they don't really have time to do the real strategic work or use their core competency. So that's, and when I landed into entrepreneurial journey, that's what I discovered, that it's different. It's not a corporate job. It does not have structure. You have to create that structure for yourself and then follow it. So that's the most challenging part of entrepreneurship. Another challenge that I landed into is adaptability. One of the things that we hate doing as a human race is change. But with a fast-moving world and with AI everywhere, with new things coming out, with data science coming out, when there are thousands of apps being launched, like AI-driven apps being launched every single day, I think it's time when entrepreneurs buckle up and get on with the pace and go ahead and accept the challenge and go with the flow. So that is something that I learned because every entrepreneur, I was also a little, in fact, this entire journey was new for me. I was so used to working in a structure wherein you have your KPIs and KRAs in place and somebody tells you what's expected out of you. While this was a completely different journey wherein I had to discover myself.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, being an entrepreneur, there's so much uncertainty and like you said, you have to go with the flow and just keep learning and understanding, especially now we're all changing so much because of AI and you can't really even predict what's next. And so you just
No.
need to be very close to the market and your customers and just keep adjusting and as you said, go with the flow.
Yeah.
So what, like when a client comes to you to help build a remote team, like what data signals tell you whether they're ready to scale?
One of the biggest data signal is they come and tell us that they have been adding new clients, but their business is a leaking bucket. So they add three clients, they lose one, they add two more, they lose two more. It becomes difficult for them to start managing things. And that's when it goes out of their hands and they reach out. Usually they reach out either a company like mine or they reach out to a business coach. That's the first time growth spurt. And they're like, we want to grow, we have opportunity, we're just unable to manage it. And if they come to us, that's what we help them with. We set their processes in place, understand what their business is, number one, all about. What are the biggest challenges? Do they have the right people in the right place? Or is it like everybody is doing everything? And that's exactly how it is for most of the small businesses. Everybody does everything. Whoever is free picks up a task from the other person's plate. So that's something that comes to us, and our first approach is to organize their current structure, document what they currently have, and recommend them how best we can restructure the team, how adding two more people and giving them the right set of work based on their skill set will free up a lot of time for everybody else in the core team. So those are some of the ways in which we initiate our conversation. But following that, we find the right people for them. We train them with their processes. We document all the processes and we set them up for success. We also add a layer of account managers on top of that. So the client doesn't end up supervising the new team member, but our supervisor supervises that. The account manager remains on all the calls, so they know what they're supervising. So it's like a pretty evolved structure wherein we run each client's small team as a separate business unit to ensure that it functions exactly like the client's core team. And it talks about the same culture, it talks the same language, it behaves in the same fashion and the way of working as the client's in-house team.
Yeah, that's great. That's really pragmatic and practical. What dashboards or KPIs do you look at to keep the pulse on performance and culture?
Sure, we use a lot of dashboards for different functions. So if I go chronologically, the first thing that we do is we use AI for recruitment purpose. There are multiple tools available, helps us match the job description with the right profile. That saves a lot of time for my HR. With the team size of this, we are constantly hiring and it becomes really overwhelming very quickly. So this helps us navigate our recruitment well. As far as performance and delivery is concerned, we track a lot of metrics using Power BI and Zoho Analytics. So we use Zoho One. So all our data is syncs at one place. And that's where we track most of our dashboards and critical KPIs. For sales and marketing, we use some of the AI tools. For example, Apollo is the one that we use for lead generation. We use multiple AI-based content creation and design platforms for our content that goes out. So I think almost all of our processes are some or the other way linked to database or AI-based tools.
And so we all can get, there's so many metrics and KPIs. What are some of the things that you look at to keep a pulse on your performance and culture? What are like some of the most important ones that you look at?
The most important one is the NPS score. So we pride ourselves in having a great NPS score. Each of our client is supposed to give rate us every quarter. So it's not a once a year thing, it's once a quarter thing. So it documents everything, how comfortable the client is in recommending us or referring us to their contact sphere. So that's the most important metrics that we follow. And then we have smaller metrics in terms of turnaround time, the time that we took to solve a ticket that the client had raised, number of referrals per client, so per capita referral flowing in. Those are some of the most important KPIs that we follow.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah, very customer focused and keeping them happy. And that's
That's what matters at
yeah,
the
that's
end of
what
the day.
matters. Yeah, good job. And
Thank you.
you talked a little bit about using AI for hiring. Like, what are some of the, and maybe that's it, but what's like some of the biggest operational wins you've seen from adopting AI internally around whatever? It could be hiring, productivity, customer experience, or what are some of the something you could share there?
So the biggest time saver would be all the low-end work, right from data scraping to using lead to doing lead generation. That was the biggest time guzzler. That's one thing that AI has really helped us save a lot of time on. Another one is creating content and creating designs around the content. That is also something that we use very frequently, and AI frees up a lot of our time on doing that. In terms of client facing, there are, depending on what business the client is into, there are a lot of automations available, which based on the industry, a lot of clients from trade industry wouldn't understand AI or automation at all. So when we walk in, our first go-to thing is figure out all that can be automated. And what remains is the one that's driven by people. Yeah, that's something that we do and that has helped us save a lot of time.
Yeah, I can tell you so many. I talk to a lot of CEOs and mid-market CEOs, and everyone's trying to scramble and figure out how should I leverage AI? How should I leverage AI and automation, go to market? And it's, yeah, your customers must love that you've already are very experienced at this
Yeah,
to,
I'd like to interject a little bit here. With AI and small businesses, the opinions have been very polarized. Some people feel that AI is the answer to everything. You can just plug and play AI and your business is absolutely on autopilot. While others feel that AI is something that their business does not need and it has been running successfully for all this while and it'll continue to run. And it's a myth that I want to break that AI is not plug and play. AI requires learning. AI is just like a kid. It's a blank slate. You have to train it yourself to work for you like you work. So it's not plug and play. Absolutely not. Some of the people also felt that when AI joins the mix, joins the market, we will be out of business because nobody would need a VA. Everybody could figure out their admin work through AI. But that's not how it works. AI needs to be learned. AI, you need to know how to use AI and leverage AI. And as a business owner, that would be the last thing that you would want to do, learn one more tech thing, right? So breaking that myth, like AI is absolutely useful if you have the time to train and retrain them. AI is not train it once and it's good to go forever. It has to be trained and retrained, and retraining is the most difficult part. You can feed it once, but then when you have to remove things from your bot and add new things, that's where the challenge is, and you need somebody who really has a deep knowledge about it and who can do it in a way that the output is error-free. So that's one of the things that I just wanted to put it out on the table.
yeah, I think that's important. It's true. Yeah, this polarizing view where people think it'll do everything, or people think that what I'm doing is good enough and I've been successful. And yeah, I think it's like that middle ground that you talk about where, yeah, AI needs to be managed and it's a new person on the team and you could increase productivity, but it's just not going to replace your team. And so I'm glad you said that because there's so much, a lot of hype around AI in the market that it can just totally replace your team. While that's the vision, it's not today's reality. And so, yeah, I think that middle ground that you talked about of understanding how to use it and what it can and can't do and continuing to manage it is a really important view.
Yes, thank you.
And so how do you cultivate trust in a distributed tech augmented workforce? Like, how does your teams and your customers' teams and How do you cultivate trust between the teams and create a good culture?
The biggest thing that we do is when we walk into the client's meeting room, we would ask them, once the client is sure that they want to take this route, we like to meet the leadership team. And once the leadership team is on board, we really talk as one team and we ask them about what help they need rather than telling them that, hey, we are going to take care of that thing from tomorrow. And also make them understand that AI or outsourcing is not here to take away your jobs. It's here to support you in a way that you can do better things rather than you doing the things that are not your domain knowledge. So that's something, education is the first thing that we do before even we touch anything there. Once that is done, we go to the team next level, which is under the leadership team, and we run a survey kind of meeting wherein we ask them, how can we help you? What is it that you, if you stop doing from tomorrow, you can focus on doing? From doing a better job at. We have a small survey checklist that we run through the team. What is it that you absolutely love doing? Where do you shine? What is it that you absolutely hate doing? But because it's a part of job, you end up doing it. What kind of support will help you go to the next level? Is there anything new that you want to learn? Is there anything new that you want to implement? So we truly come in as a supporter and partners with them rather than coming in and taking over. So that's how we manage things.
Yeah, that's great. I love the question, what do you love to do? And because usually what you love to do, you have a lot of energy and are really good at it. And so when you can augment the things that are either cumbersome or you don't love to do as a business owner, that's just a good question. Good job there. And
Thank you.
what kind of advice do you have if a small business owner asked, where do I start with data and AI? What steps would you recommend to them?
Number one, I would say evaluate whether it's another thing that you want to learn how to use or do you want to have knowledge of it. For example, you might have knowledge about taxes and accounting, but that's not something that you end up doing, right? You might have some knowledge about medicine, but that's you don't go ahead and get a medical degree because you want to treat yourself. It's absolutely okay to hire an expert who has better understanding, who does that for a living, rather than you doing it as a 99th thing on your list. The only advice is if you absolutely are not from the tech background and if it does not relate to your business or domain, I think it's best to hire an expert, get on a weekly call with them. Ask them to simplify it and explain it to you so that you have working knowledge of what that person is doing and why he is doing, because business knowledge comes from you, but you don't necessarily need to go out and do it all yourself.
Yeah, I think that's some also really good pragmatic advice.
Thank you.
What books, mentors, or resources most influenced your thinking about tech or technology and leadership?
I think it was not limited to tech. It was more about leadership and the desire to grow and do something, and which led me to reading multiple books, watching multiple TED Talks, following some thought leaders in the industry that I absolutely love. Indira Nooyi, Elon Musk happens to be some of the most influential business figures in my life. Steve Jobs. These are the different people that really shaped the way I thought. In terms of book, I landed on Ayn Rand, and I started with Atlas Shrugged as my first Ayn Rand book, which absolutely shaped the way I started looking at the world and I started looking at things. And then it was followed by different books. I landed on The 4-Hour Workweek when I was laid off from my company, and that's how Infinity was created. The entire idea of hiring a VA, working as a VA came from that. So that shaped my business. Most of the books that I pick up, I try to implement it in my life in some way. I landed on a book called Built to Sell that convinced me completely to build processes away from the business owner. And that's how my business also works. It doesn't depend on me at all. It depends on processes and getting the right people on those processes. But yeah, and there are tons of different books and thought leaders that really helped me. I do have business coaches that I worked with. I have had three business coaches at different stages of my growth, and all of them have massively contributed to all that I am today.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. You just have to keep learning. I love that. I'm curious,
Thanks.
what Atlas, you said Atlas Shrugged. Like what is that? I never read that. What it
Oh.
influenced you. What's that about?
Atlas Shrugged is a it's a, so Ayn Rand is a philosopher, and she created these fictional novels, which are is fiction is just a way it is written in, but it absolutely changes your work view, what objectivism is, what capitalism is, how altruism is going to it just doesn't help in long term, how the basic philosophy of teaching a man to fish rather than giving him a fish. So the entire philosophy is based on how everything revolves around you, how your success and failure is because of you, and which is why it is more important to constantly keep working on yourself.
Yeah,
So that's what the
nice.
book talks about.
Yeah, I like it. I'll have to check it out. And so I'm curious, what's one AI tool that you can't live without?
I would say for starters, ChatGPT. Because the paid version of ChatGPT also gives you access to different tools. So you can write from design to brainstorming to asking ChatGPT to act as a devil's advocate and question everything that I'm thinking. How can things go wrong? Those are my favorite things to do on ChatGPT.
Yeah, that's great. And then, I learned later in my own entrepreneurial journey how much you really need to recover, take time, enjoy life. But like, what do you do to let yourself rest and then gear up for creativity? What kind of advice do you have for a lot of people that just work so hard, but maybe that's not always the best thing? I think you might have even alluded to some of that, and to have creativity and to really get refreshed and think differently about business problems.
Sure. One thing that I do, which completely cuts me off from every work-related thing, is I work with a rescue center for dogs. So
Oh,
I help
nice.
volunteer there. And that probably is the one thing wherein I don't feel the need to check my phone. Even if there's a notification, I don't feel like looking into my phone. I don't feel like picking up a phone if somebody calls because I'm completely 100% there, and that's so soul soothing. When you do something like that, everybody has to find their thing. And when you do something like that and you come back to work, it's like a new person. You're like a new person. You're absolutely rejuvenated. Your mind has rested. Your mind has felt happy, and it can produce so much more when you give yourself that liberty. I
Yeah,
think
I love it.
doing
First of all, I'm a huge dog lover, but I love that advice because so many people wait till they are like get too tired or work themselves too much. And it's actually when you take time for yourself and do something or give back, and it actually helps business. It helps you think better and it helps
Yeah,
you
gives you
in
more
business.
clarity. Gives
Yeah.
you more clarity. Yes.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So, do you have dogs yourself?
I have two dogs, both adopted. And I have, during the COVID, this really picked up. People got pets just as a soft toy. And then they realized, oh, this is a lot of work. And then they started abandoning dogs.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the rescue center received a lot of calls from random people seeing puppies on the street. And we got them all. I started fostering them as an individual volunteer and bring them back to health and put them up for adoption. I did that for 17 dogs during COVID.
Wow.
And I had just lost my dog then.
Oh,
So I wasn't ready to
terrible.
get another dog in my life, but I was missing the dog. So this was something that was in between, wherein I was not committed to a dog and I was not replacing my dog, but I was helping them and I was not left without one. But
Yes.
then I landed on a dog, which a German Shepherd puppy that was paralyzed for 7 months.
Oh
And
no.
before he started walking and became independent, he was too big for anybody to adopt. Nobody wants a big dog. So he's stuck with me now.
I love it. I love it. Good job. Love it. I have a shepherd myself. I love dogs there, but good job. That's some good work. And then maybe share what piece of advice would you give, like maybe your younger self? That you've learned to where you are now in your journey. What advice would you give yourself?
One advice that I would go back and give to myself is I was a runner. I would want everything to move fast with great intensity, which is not always the best thing because it burns you down. It takes away clarity from your thoughts. So I think it is important to have more clarity and persistence than speed.
Yeah.
So I feel if I would have known better when I was younger, I would have been more successful, I would say.
No, that's good. That's good advice. And was there a question you wish I would have asked that maybe you want to share with the audience that I didn't ask you?
I think covered a bit of it, but there is a fear in not in the leadership team, but in employees and the team that works for companies, that AI is going to take away their jobs, and or if hiring, if the owner ends up hiring a remote team that is going to take away their job, it's going to be other way around. It's going to help you do better things. It's going to help you do things that you love and progress in your career, rather than getting stuck and remaining busy and not finding time to grow and learn new things. So use all that time to learn new things and advance in your career, rather than cribbing about the fact that AI is coming. It is coming. There's no denying of that. It's only a matter of time when AI will take over a lot of low-end work. So jobs are going to become obsolete. But at the same time, because of AI, tons of jobs will be created that will require new skill set, that will require new leadership roles, that will require new ideas and an open mind that will adapt it and grow with it. So be open to it and get ready for the new phase, because it's coming. But don't dread it. Don't be scared.
Just adopt it and learn. And yeah, there are so many roles and new roles and existing roles. So yeah, we just will all evolve. And so yeah, I love that advice. Just get started now, understand it, leverage it, and then you'll be ready. Yeah, that's great. And how can people get in touch with you if they want to reach out?
They can reach out to me on my LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So you can find me up on LinkedIn. If you just look up Bhavini Kamdar, I'll come up on LinkedIn. If you want to reach out to me on my website, is infinitybusinessservices.com. So that's my web address. And you can reach out to me on my email, or bhavini@infinitybusinessservices.com.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing such good advice, Bhavani, and good job with taking care of all the dogs out there. And yeah, I loved your thought process. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Dean. Thank you so much for having me over.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida. And Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.